Well, before we begin our study tonight, let's pray together, would you? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. The last few weeks, we've been talking about being built for the storm, because life brings storms, and we can stand through the storms, and we can remain standing after the storms. In fact, we can survive the storm, and then we can thrive after the storm. Yeshua says, as we've been going over this week after week, that the key is to build your house on the rock. And the way that you do that is you come to him, and then you listen to his teachings, and then you put them into practice. He says the one who does that will be like a man who builds his house on rock. His house will be well built, and when the storms come, he will stand. We've also been talking about taking concern for the city where God has called us to dwell and to seek the good of the city. And I want to remind you what Jeremiah said. We covered this recently, Jeremiah 29, verses 4 through 7. It was a word that God gave to Jeremiah to bring to Israel when Israel was in Babylon. This is what the Lord Almighty says, the God of Israel, to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters, find wives for your sons, and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. It's a word of normalcy, a word of stability, a word that brings increase rather than decrease. And then it says this also, verse 7, also, seek the peace and the prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. So who's doing the carrying? It's the Lord. What's the exile mean? Anywhere other than Israel is the place of scattering for the Jewish people. And so what are we given to do? We are given a mandate to seek the peace and the prosperity of the city. Now, can you imagine what it took to get that into the heart of the people of Israel? Carried to Babylon? Well, who wants to seek the good of Babylon? They're the ones that overran the country. They're the ones that enslaved the people. They're the ones that forcefully relocated the Jewish people, committing some kind of ethnic cleansing of Israel and bringing the people Israel to Babylon. Who wants to seek their good? It's very difficult to seek the good of those who you oppose or those you resent or those who seem to be ruining your life rather than fulfilling your purpose. And yet God says that I'm the one, God's the one who brought you from Jerusalem to Babylon. God's the one that's doing it. It's not the enemy. What's our role? Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you. Pray to the Lord for it. Pray to the Lord for it. Not pray to the Lord against it. Pray to the Lord for the city. Oh, it's so much easier to pray against things than it is to pray for the good. Yeshua said anybody can bless their friends. In fact, everybody does bless their friends. But you can learn to bless your enemies. And where do you get that power? You get it from God Almighty. How do you know that you can get it? Because God already has it. And how do you know that? Because every one of us was an opponent of God. Every one of us was independent of God. Every one of us was rebellious towards God. Or you might say, well, I knew the Lord since I was a kid. That's right. Every one of us was rebellious against God. Even the ones who met God young had a time of independence. Now, of course, what you do in that time may look one way to one person, another way to another person, but God says, I know you, and I know what you were like, and even when you were my enemies, Yeshua was sent to die for you. Even then. And for that reason, you and I are called to seek the good of our enemies. That's not easy. And to seek the good of the city that we're living in. And then there's a rationale given. Because. Say that word with me, because. Whenever because is in a sentence, you know what it means? The reason follows. If it prospers, you will prosper. Say that with me. If it prospers, you will prosper. Tell the person sitting near you, if Jacksonville prospers, you'll prosper. If Jacksonville prospers, you will prosper. If Duval County prospers, you will prosper. You can tell the person. If they're not near you, just call out to someone. If Duval County prospers, you'll prosper. What about St. John County? Will that work? I don't know. Yeah, St. John's County too. Clay County also. Nassau County. Yeah? That too? Okay. All of Northeast Florida? McClaney? Maybe. If where you live prospers, you'll prosper. Wherever it is. Well, we've had a chance to put all this into practice this past week. I want you to think about some of the storms. There was the storm that came to Dennis this week as he buried his wife, Karen. The storm of death. And now he's got to face a new chapter of life without Karen by his side. There was another kind of storm, a great storm of death in the Philippines. Thousands died, hundreds of thousands homeless. Great tragedy. And now the people have to rebuild. They have to find new life. There are towns where lost children are just running around without anyone looking after them, crying and desperate because of the great storm that hit there. And then there's another kind of storm that we faced right here in our neighborhood with the prospect of what first was described as an adult entertainment business, and then was later described as a dancing entertainment enterprise with alcohol served on premises. That combination's important. Or a bikini bar. There are some other terms that I won't use that were used to describe it. And we faced that storm, and we can thank the Lord because we had a victory in that storm. The storm came, the house is still standing. The storm came, and we had a victory, but the victory is for now. Say that with me. The victory is for now. And I want you to remember this. You can't have a victory if you don't have a battle. Imagine you're a boxer, and you want to be the champion, but you don't want to fight anybody. Guess what? You're not going to be a champion. If you're an athlete, you have to compete against others. In life, if you want victory, you have to have a battle. If you're going to have the victory, it's going to be over something. So you can be an overcomer only if there's something that you need to overcome. And we just had a battle at a public hearing that was Thursday night. That was last night, it seems like 2 weeks ago, because it took so much out of us. It's exhausting just to sit there that long. As time went on, Sandy looked at me and said, we could be in Western Europe by now. Later on, she said, we could be in Ukraine, we could be in Israel by now. And still the hearing wasn't over. That's how long it took. I want to describe to you some things about the public hearing, and I want to recognize some of the different ways that people in this congregation took action. a couple of Saturdays ago, after we had told you about what was going on, a group of women went over after services and prayed on the grounds, and I commend you all for doing that. You went over to the former Burger King, and you marched 7 times, is that right? Around that place, and you prayed for it, and you exercised the spiritual authority that God gave you. And then on Wednesday, a week ago, a group of us went over for the monthly prayer meeting, and we also prayed with our feet on the ground. You know, there's a principle. You may not have understood it, but I'll try to explain it to you. God told Abraham this: everywhere you put your feet, it'll be yours. And you know what that means? If you don't put your foot down, you don't get it. And he said the same thing to Moses, though Moses didn't get to do it. There are others of you who took time last weekend to go over and pray on the grounds. And I just want to see, just out of curiosity, how many people actually put their feet on that piece of property, that former Burger King, and you went there at some point and you prayed. Would you mind just standing up for a minute and let me see you? Because I want to thank you. I want to congratulate you. You took a stand. Thank you very much. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you all for doing that. You blew the shofar. Emma did. How many times?
Once going and once again.
Good, good. And there are others of you who prayed in other ways. You did not actually set foot on that territory, but you did pray. Can I see a show of hands of those of you who prayed but weren't able to go over there? That's good. Now, if you add all those people, let's just do it for fun. Let the people who prayed and the people who went over there and prayed, the people who prayed anywhere, if you all would stand up who did that, let's just see how many actually put some effort into this. This is pretty good, you all. Thank you. Yeah, if you went over there, yeah, stand up again. If you stood up before, stand up again. Good. Congratulations. Thank you. Thank you. You have a share in this, no doubt. Then some of us wrote letters or emails or made phone calls to the Planning Commission staff. How many did that? That's pretty good. It's not great, but it's pretty good. And then a surprising number attended the Planning Commission hearing Thursday. Because it went so long, they have a procedure where they call out the names of anyone who filled out a speaker's blue card. And if the person's not there, then they tell everyone in the room the position the person took. And so if you filled out a blue card like Brenda, I'll just tell you a funny one. They called your name out 3 different times and your position of opposition. Not only that, but the chairman got a little confused sometimes, and it seemed like three people in a row he addressed as Brenda Miller as they came up. And then they identified themselves, and you go like, oh yeah, yeah. And then the next person, Brenda Miller, thank you for coming. You got a lot of credit. So there were people who did not want to speak but did want their opposition registered. And all of you who filled out cards, that took place, whether you remained or not. So I congratulate you. Believe it or not, just taking that effort to fill out a card makes a difference. There was a moment when one of the commissioners said, I think this is the first time we have ever had a hearing where nobody's in favor except for the people applying and their attorney. They had 60 people fill out cards, speaker's cards, not all of them spoke last night. And by the count I heard from several people, close to 2,000 names, letters, and petitions, plus other emails and communication that took place. And so the message was really clear. The commission was in no way confused about how the neighborhood and how all of you felt. I also want to congratulate Luis Orantes. Congratulations, because he had the gumption to get up and speak at the hearing. Congratulations to you. And not only that, he had the wherewithal to have listened to the previous many hours of testimony and to draw some conclusions from that, the hours of testimony and argument and debate from the previous cases that were heard. And he took note of a couple of things. One was the importance of consistency in a neighborhood, because there was an argument over whether a certain size lot was big enough for a neighborhood. And it was very important in a number of the other cases whether there was consistency. And then he made the case that that this is inconsistent. This kind of use is inconsistent with our neighborhood. And then he also heard a lot about buffers and took note that it's impossible to have a buffer to surround a place like this. It cannot be shielded. It must not be. Were you the one who talked about blight, or was that someone else?
That was somebody else.
I love that. Because there was a big discussion about how much it costs to cure blight. And the speaker said, you can avoid it by how you vote right now. I really was glad for that. There were a lot of folks also who were watching in a way that we did not know was possible. That was via live streaming, and they were praying as well. So if you were one of the people watching by live streaming or broadcast on TV, could I just see a show of hands? Yay, Elena. And Sandra, too, yeah. And I think some others as well. We can also be thankful for the larger business groups, including the Deerwood Center, of which we are a part, because those groups hired attorneys and expert witnesses to speak, and they represented our interests really well. As well, there were representatives from a number of schools and a number of churches and from our synagogue there. So it was a strong representation. And we got a good result. The Planning Commission staff, we knew this going into the meeting, they were recommending denial going into it, but you still have to have a hearing anyway. They presented their findings, and then there was argument. The attorney representing the people that wanted to put in the show bar, go-go bar, bikini bar, or whatever you want to call it, I said they have to call it that because they don't have a section in the code for sleaze bar. He had a terrible argument. His argument was that this was entirely about a matter of the constitutional right of free speech and free expression. It made me laugh because, I mean, I have not been to one of these places, but I'm not sure the dancers have anything to say. But their sense of expression really wasn't the issue. But he basically told the Planning Commission that they only had one option, and that was to approve this because of the First Amendment rights of freedom of speech. And that's one of the ways that you know that not all attorneys are smart or well-prepared, or that cases can be presented well. The Planning Commission, at the end of the day, went, reviewed all the testimony. They did it in a very thorough and professional way, in a very dignified way. And they did let us know that the moral position that each one of them took as an individual is not the same as what they're legally bound to do. And I'll explain that in just a minute. But even with that, the planning commission took time for each person to review the reasons, the evidence and the reasons why they were going to vote the way that they did. And each person took time to do that, and then they registered their vote as being against allowing this particular establishment in. So there was no eyes, you know, so that people could escape us knowing what their vote was. Every person was very visible, and they voted unanimously to deny the exception. Now, here's what you also need to know. There can be an appeal to city council. There was an appeal in 2012, and city council heard it and stood by the planning commission position. And so we believe the same thing will happen because there's no change in facts. There's no reason why there would be a different finding on the part of the city council. But there could also be a court case. The only basis of a court case would be the First Amendment rights. And yet the First Amendment protects their rights in a way that they don't want to exercise. I'll try to explain that in a few minutes. This whole process connects to what Jeremiah was talking about, which is you've got to seek the good of the city. And as we were there, we understood we were seeking the good of our neighborhood. We were exercising our responsibility as citizens, but also as spiritual disciples of the Lord who are called to look for the good of the city. Now, I don't have a high commitment to partisan politics, and I'll tell you why. Politicians generally aren't trustworthy. And I can prove that to you by asking you to read the news 2 days in a row. And you'll know what they say one day is different than what's said the next. Right? And all you have to do is have a memory in order to know what they promised you before they got elected, and then you compare to what they did after they got elected, and you understand that they're in the business of selling themselves to you in order to get elected. After they get elected, they're in the business again to stay elected and to keep getting elected. That's their primary motivation. Some of them, of course, are more committed than that, and they're also thinking about the good, but it's a dirty business, and people get soiled in it often. So I also know that all the political parties in America are political parties. If that's news to you, surprise. And so each of them does some things that are good, and each of them does some things that are not good. If you think that these people are, how can I say this, as clean as the heavenly saints in their white robes, you will be sorely disappointed. They are not. And so I never want to encourage people to put their faith in politicians or even the political process, but to put their faith in God, who is above all that. Nevertheless, it's important that we exercise our citizenship. That's what the message of the Lord is to the children of Israel in Babylon. And do you know, in Babylon, Israel had many fewer rights than we have here in the United States. So if Israel was called to exercise responsibilities as residents, and in some cases citizens of Babylon, how much more do we have responsibility here to exercise our rights as citizens? How do we do that? We have to stay informed. We have to know what's going on. Originally, when I communicated to you about this, I had been informed that this was an application for an adult entertainment facility, which according to code means public nudity, among other things. It turned out that wasn't true. And I'm glad I found out before I went and before I spoke, because the arguments against that are different than the arguments against the actual application. It's very important when you're involved in any kind of conflict or decision-making process that you're informed. You know what the facts are. You understand the process. So I called up the Planning Commission Thursday morning. I said, I'm preparing because I want to speak to the group, and I want to make sure I have my facts right. Can you explain some things to me about the code and what we're going to be looking at and what sections of the code apply and which ones don't? So I want to tell you it's important to stay informed. It's also important, as the scriptures teach us, to pray for those in authority. Paul made that really clear. First of all, he said, pray for kings and those in authority over you so that you might live a peaceful life. It's important to know that the decisions that such people make can positively or negatively impact your peaceful life. And so you want to pray for them. And I found, unfortunately, in the times of polarization and alienation that we live in, that even believers are less inclined to pray for those in authority in the government. They're much more inclined to criticize. But we're called to pray. Can you imagine if Paul wrote Timothy, he said, let me tell you what to do, pal. I want you to stick your finger in their eye. I want you to wag your finger. I want you to complain as much as you possibly can. And I want you to be as critical as you possibly can against the government because they're no good bums. That's not what he said. It's also important to exercise our citizenship by expressing our position to appropriate authorities. And that includes, as in the case of Thursday, attending public hearings. All of this requires that we understand the process that we're engaging in. Democracy and citizenship require that, but not only do they, the mandate that God has given us as believers is to be a kind of person who takes an interest in the well-being of the society that we're living in. We have to learn about such matters. We have to learn about the laws, the processes. We have to take responsibility. And it's also important that we don't assume the outcome, that we just say, oh, it'll be fine, or oh, there's nothing that can be done. Some of you probably said, I don't see any reason to go. You know those people. They're being paid off. Whoever has the most money, they're going to win. Anybody have that thought? Thank you, sir. Some people think that way. Other people think, well, our voice doesn't count, or my voice doesn't count, or you know, they're not going to listen to me. The moment that you say that your voice doesn't count, you actually surrender, and you become ineffective. And it's the opposite of saying to the Lord, Hineni, here I am, send me. It's saying, I'm checking out. I don't want to be used. Now, let me explain how this worked for me. Because I understood that each one of us has a part to play, and it's important to know your part and to do it. And so I decided I was going to speak. And I think I was the first one who arrived there and filled out a card before. And so I actually foolishly thought I would be able to go first. I didn't. But I filled out that card, and I had prepared what I wanted to say. I'd even published it on Beth Israel's Facebook page. That's what I was planning to do. I was prepared to do. That's what I felt comfortable about doing. It's what made sense to me. And then, when the bar's attorney started speaking, and I heard his argument, and I heard the things he said and the things he didn't say, I began to have this really uncomfortable feeling like, I wish I were an attorney right now. But I'm not. But I had this very uncomfortable feeling because I felt I needed to address some things he said and point them out to the commission, just underline some things he said. And that made me nervous. Because I knew something about the attorney, and I know that he's known for his rhetorical skill and his ability to attack. And I was debating, well, should I stick with my notes because I'm prepared for that? I can do that comfortably and easily. Or should I speak to these other things? And the whole time I'm debating that, I know for certain the Holy Spirit's saying, speak to these other things. But I didn't have any notes. And I didn't have time to prepare notes. And you're given 3 minutes to speak. So you can't work your way up to it. You see what I'm saying? And so I immediately was saying to the Lord, but this makes me nervous. And I understood that that didn't change anything. And I thought, well, I'm not even sure how to open. I'm not even sure what my first, second, or third idea is or anything. I didn't feel like I had to argue with the Holy Spirit because I thought he was firm. Do it. But I'm going to be nervous. Do it. And so I did it, and I was nervous. And you know what? The Lord didn't care that I was nervous. So what? And I didn't really care that I was nervous. I just did it anyway. And I decided I would mention the attorney by name, Mr. Sanders. I decided I would not mention him the way I wanted to. I was going to intentionally misspeak and call him Colonel Sanders just to bring a laugh and to, you know, show we weren't afraid of him. But I didn't. So I had a total of 3 minutes, and I knew I was going to be nervous. And I realized, you know, sometimes being nervous is all it takes to stop a person. Can any of you identify with that? You feel like you want to do something and you should do something, but you're afraid, or you're nervous about doing it, or you're uncertain, or you're saying, I'm not gonna do it just so. It's not going to be perfect. And for some people, that's enough to get them just to give up before they even start. Well, I decided it would be okay to be nervous, and I decided I would comment about what the attorney said, because I noticed he spoke with great confidence and certainty, but it actually was arrogance. And I knew just a little bit about the law because I had informed myself adequately, and I had found an example of how a similar case had been handled in Jacksonville just last year, where a dancing entertainment business was refused an exception, and then that business filed an appeal with the Jacksonville City Council. So I took note of what the Jacksonville City Council said in their affirmation of the Planning Commission denial in 2012 in this other case. And one of the things that they said, it was so interesting, is that in order for an exception to be granted, the one asking for the exception has to demonstrate how they will be beneficial to the neighborhood. And I noticed the attorney for them didn't say anything about that. And everybody else said it would be detrimental. So I was thinking, okay, what did this attorney say? He said to the Planning Commission, you have no right to regulate this business. Those of you who were there heard that. You only can affirm their constitutional rights by allowing them to do this. That's all you can do. He even used these words, your hands are tied. That's all you can do. And so I looked at the commission and I said, I'm not an attorney, I'm a rabbi, but I think I'm a good listener. And I think I heard pretty clearly what he was saying to you. He was telling you that you have no right to regulate this particular matter. And I know you do. And I hope you know that you should exercise your responsibility and that you can do that. And then I decided I was going to point out what the attorney didn't say. He didn't say anything about the benefits to the neighborhood. I decided I wouldn't give my source, you know, from that appeal last year, because I didn't want to make it easier on him. And I actually wanted to sort of trip him up. I was in that mood. I thought that's what I was supposed to do. And so I said, you'll also notice that he never said anything about the benefits to the neighborhood. In fact, to the contrary, he admitted before he even got started that this is morally repugnant and reprehensible, but they have the constitutional right to do it. And so he made the point unwittingly that it's detrimental. And he even made a sarcastic remark that confirmed all the concerns we have about increased crime. So I said all that, and I said, you know, I want to encourage you just to follow the findings of your professional staff who did a very thorough job of explaining why this should be denied, and accept that and deny this, and so forth. Well, at the end of the time, the attorney has 1 6-minute or 10-minute period for rebuttal, and he decides to insult the whole group of people who have spoken. He says, well, it's very clear that the people who are attending here don't understand the process and the legal issues and the rules of evidence and the law and all of that, and they've got opinions, and that's inadmissible. And then he didn't mention me by name, but he said, in fact, one gentleman said that I had to prove, or we had to prove, that there were benefits, and we don't have to. And I thought, hallelujah. Because he still doesn't know what he has to do. Do you see? I was so happy for that. I thought, he confirmed that he's unprepared. Well, I won't go into anything else about those details, though for me they were very interesting. My point in bringing this up is I took the position that my voice did count. And not only that, I took the position your voice counted, which is why I brought this to your attention, that you could have an impact. Now, you might say, well, I don't know that I actually had an impact. That's the whole point. It's us together and every one of us doing our part. No one can say, I alone did this. And no one can say that the part that they did was insignificant. Every one of us who did something contributed to the victory. And so it could have been your prayer. It could have been your attendance. It could have been that you told someone else who did something. Whatever it may have been, if you did anything, then you share in the victory. And I want to tell you that. You share in the victory. But I also want to tell you something more. The victory is limited. Here's why. What the Planning Commission decided was not to approve an exception allowing a bar of this kind, a dance bar, with alcohol served at the same time. That combination is not allowed. But what you need to know is if they choose tomorrow to open up without alcohol, they have the legal right to do it. So what does that mean? Well, it's very unlikely, believe me, that the people who want to go to such a place want to go there if all they can get is Coca-Cola. That's not what they're looking for. And such places also tend to attract a lot of drug use as well. But I'm telling you, because it became clear that they do have a constitutional right to do that kind of dance bar, but not serve alcohol. And it is possible that they would, just despite everyone, and just because they're those kinds of businessmen, choose to do that and then try to test in court their right to sell alcohol through some other way. So I want to tell you, stay alert, stay informed, and continue to be involved, because there's more that's necessary that we be alert to. We've got to be vigilant, and we've got to be ready to act. Something else that was really clear, the last speaker, who's not part of this area, made this point, and it was very important, because she comes from another area, I think around Emerson, where there are a number of operations which we're trying to protect ourselves from. And she said, I'm not here to speak about the situation in this particular case, because this isn't my neighborhood, but I want to tell you something, that one of the reasons this is being rejected is because there are no other facilities like this in the neighborhood. But what are we supposed to do who already have such facilities in our neighborhoods? And she was appealing for help, really. And that goes to something. When Jeremiah brought the word, seek the good of the city, he didn't say just seek your good in the city. Do you see the difference? Seek the good of the city, because if it prospers, you'll prosper. It made me alert that we need to be praying for a strategy to clean up the neighborhoods where there are already such facilities, and to care enough to pray for those neighborhoods, not just our neighborhood, but for those neighborhoods that have already lost the battle, and to look for new solutions. We have to ask God for strategies, and it's important, I want to say this as clearly as I can, it's important for you to take up that cause and that concern too. At the moment that we have a victory here for ourselves, it's important to extend that victory on behalf of other people. Why? Because if it goes well with the city, it'll go well with you. If it goes well with another neighborhood, it'll go well with you and your neighborhood. And so I want to ask you to take up that cause. And I want to encourage you to not drop your guard and not to say, oh, hallelujah, we had a victory, we won, it's over. Vigilance of this kind as citizens is actually never over. It's our responsibility to pay attention, to learn the law, and to operate within the law. One of the things that greatly encouraged me is that it was not only businessmen, but it was representatives from so many schools, so many churches, and from our synagogue who showed up and identified themselves as such and who boldly said, I'm part of Beth Israel, or I'm part of Holy Family Catholic Church, or I'm part of this Baptist church, or that other church, I'm part of this school or that school. It was people standing up and really taking a position confidently, honestly, with great clarity and saying, we're here to speak. And speaking with one voice, each one of us saying harmoniously things that needed to be said. Well, I want to close with prayer because I believe that the victory we just had needs to be protected, number one, but number two, needs to be extended. And there may be an area in your life where you can think, oh, I need a victory like that. Do you have an area like that? Is there something in your own life where you're saying, I would like to see a victory that God works on behalf of me, my family, my place of work, my neighborhood? And if you've got something in mind, I just want you to lift that up to the Lord right now. Let's join together. Lord, we thank you for this victory, but we believe, Lord, that you want to extend the victory even further. And so we present to you the victories that we need in our family, in our own life, in our neighborhood, at our work, at our school. And we're praying, Lord, that you would show us what to do, how to take responsible action, how to pray, how to act, who to speak to. We're asking, Lord, that we would not just give in to the battle, but that we would be victorious in the day of battle. Thank you, Lord, that you've called us to be more than conquerors. Thank you, Lord, that you equip us and strengthen us. Thank you, Lord, that you are Adonai Tzevaot, the Lord over battalions. We honor you, Lord, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, God Almighty, our Redeemer, our Messiah. Amen. Well, let's close with Aaron's blessings. I don't want you to be alone. So why don't you come on up? You too. Ina, come with Yuri, stand together with us. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai p'navei lecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai p'navei lecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom.